We are in the book of Revelation, chapter 8. And we are going to start from verse 1.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour.
Now, here we read, Jesus Christ is the one opening the seals. And when he means Jesus opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. In heaven, there is no time limit. There is no clock. But the John is still on earth, but his spirit is lifted up to heaven. And so he is seeing the things in heaven, but when you are sitting on earth, his mind is still counting the worldly time. So he, according to John, he calculate approximately there was a silence in heaven for half an hour. And so you can see it is not easy for all the angels and all the angelic host to be silent for half an hour. As we learned in the beginning, the angels in heaven say, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord," 24 hours without the rest. And so, according to the word of God, there is no silent in heaven. There is always singing and praising and glorifying God. Why silent is there? I was just thinking, in the funeral home, actually when the people are there, they are very quiet. They don't make noise like you go to some games and things like that. That's why some people in the church, when they are quiet, they said, "Is it a funeral home or something? Why are so quiet?" So here we see the silence for an half an hour. No angel is singing. No angel is praising God. Nobody shouting. Nobody is doing anything. Half an hour of silence. And I start thinking, why is the silence in heaven? What is the reason? Let's read Genesis chapter 6. And start reading verse 6. We don't have time to read the whole thing. Just read Genesis 6:6.
And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart.
Now when he say repented, that word I don't like. Repentance only people when they make mistake, they repent. God never makes mistake. So God did not have to repent. It grieved him, it grieved God, grieved in his heart. Means God was sad. I made this mankind to worship me, to praise me, to adore me, to glorify my name, but now this mankind is going to die and whole world is going to be destroyed by flood. So God was grieved in his heart. The same situation. Now, when the trumpet is going to sound, when the seal is open, seven seals are open, and when they're going to sound the trumpet, and hundreds and thousands of people are going to die. And I believe in my heart, it grieved the God's heart. And God felt very sad in his heart. But God is love, and he is also consuming fire. And so God judged the people. God is not saying, because I love you, do anything you want. If you are a parent, and if your children do some naughty thing, what you do, you punish them. When you punish them, and when they cry, sometimes the mother also start crying, and then say, "I don't like to hit you, but you know, you don't listen to me," and they cry with them. But some children take advantage. "Oh, my mother is crying, so I don't worry, I can do more problems." But the point I'm making, father or mother, they get hurt when the children do wrong thing and they punish them, but they punish them with the love. Now here we see in heaven there is a silence for half an hour. Why? Because the people are going to go to hell. not only they are going to die, but once they die, they have no chance. They are going to go to hell. But the Word of God says if one sinner repents, there is a joy in heaven. Please go to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 7 and verse 10.
I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance.
See, one sinner repents on earth, the joy shall be in heaven. Now there is no joy in heaven because the sinners are going to die. Verse 10.
Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth.
Now here again he says, likewise I say unto you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So if one sinner repents, sinners comes to God, there is a joy, the angels are rejoicing, the God is happy, and the whole heaven is rejoicing. And so when you're rejoicing, make a lot of noise, there is no silent. But now there is a silent in heaven because people are going to die and they're going to go to hell. Okay, let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 8 and verse 2.
And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, and filled it with the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake.
Okay. The verse 3 says, another angel came and stood at the altar. And when I was listening to other people, what they think about this, right away they start thinking, this angel is Jesus. And why are they saying Jesus? Because they say, oh, he has a incense in his hand and he is standing near the altar and that's why he is Jesus. But not because he is standing there, incense in his hand, we have to call him Jesus. It says plainly, there is another angel stood. So this is an angel, and different angel has different jobs to do. But many people make mistake when they hear the description of the angel and they start thinking it's Jesus. But when you see what this angel is doing, first of all he says he took this golden censer and he put the incense in that, and he says with that he offered the prayers of the saints. And that ascended before God out of the angel's hand. Now here he's saying the angel took the prayers of the saints and the incense, and that was incense smell, and the prayers were going to God. Most of the people, when they hear this or they read this, they're saying, oh, I prayed a lot, prayed so many times, and God did not hear my prayer, but that prayer did not go wasted because that prayer is still in the hand of God and it's like a sweet smelling savor. Most of the Christians are taught in the Word of God, do not curse, do not take revenge, do not fight, and that is not a Christian thing, and forgive. So Christian people's prayer of revenge will not be kept in the hand of God. You know, the first martyr is Stephen. And you have to read that in Acts, book of Acts, chapter 7, starting from verse 58.
And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Stephen forgave them and did not ask any revenge. So who are these saints and who are these people praying and whose prayer is coming to God? Go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 6, and start reading from verse 9 to 11.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
Now see, these are the people not born-again Christians. Born-again Christians will not ask revenge. Now who are these people? These people came from Genesis. First martyred is who? Abel. Abel's blood was crying for revenge. Let's read Genesis chapter 4, verse 10.
And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground.
God is talking to Cain. But he didn't say what the blood is saying. But we know his blood is crying, means he's complaining to Father. He's complained to God. Cain killed me. Now you do something about it. And that's what the Cain was asking. But we learn when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus says, Father, forgive them. And so we learn from Christ, Jesus Christ forgives. So read the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
So what happened? Abel asked revenge. Jesus Christ is not asking revenge. He is asking forgiveness. So all the New Testament saints are not going to ask revenge. They are not going to ask God, when you're going to destroy my enemies. Only people were crying from under the altar, asking revenge, and now the time has come. So the when incense was given, and the prayers of saints are mixed with it, and so it went to God, means went up. So here is saying this was the time that revenge will start, and when the number is fulfilled, then the all people who gave hard time to the Old Testament sense, that revenge will be taken. And we will be reading later on how they're rejoicing and how the revenge is done. So here we're seeing this incense with the comes with the prayers of the all saints, he says, all the saints. So when you say all the saints, you have to take the born-again believers separate from that. Because born-again believers will not ask revenge, and they will not curse, they will not do any harm to any other people. But at the same time, this is the time when these all these angels, Revelation chapter 8 verse 2, all these seven angels were ready to sound the trumpet. And that's the time we saw silent in heaven before they could blow the trumpet. And so silent was there, as I said, many people are going to die, many people are going to go to hell. And so God and all the angels felt sorry for those people, and that's what the silent is all about. So now we see some people are saying this is Jesus who is bringing the golden censer and things like that. That is not Jesus, but that's just the angel. Go back in Revelation chapter 8 and start reading from verse 4 again.
And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Now see, this is the situation. Another angel, he took the censer, he took the fire, he took the incense, and then he takes it and poured it on the earth. And when he poured it on the earth, we saw the earthquake and the voices and thundering and lightning start on earth. Let's read verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
Now see, each trumpet sounds, certain things start happening. Now when you read this, many people, some of the scholars, will be telling you this, all things happening, maybe a war happening, maybe some enemy throwing this, some kind of devices, and that's why this is happening. But here, simply the word of God is saying, the angel is sounding the trumpet, and each trumpet sounds some disaster coming to earth. And so these things already happened before, and these things are happening in the tribulation time. No one is saying who is causing this problem to this earth, and why this is happening on this earth. We are seeing these angels are in heaven, standing in front of God, these all seven angels, with the trumpet in their hands, and one by one they're sounding the trumpet. And each trumpet sounds something happening. Now, as I told you when we were studying the book of Revelation chapter 6 and 7, this book, many people are thinking is in chronological order, but it's not. When these things happening in chapter 8, the tribulation starts. And the tribulation is for 7 years. And so 7 years tribulation is 3.5 years, is called mild tribulations. Of last 3.5, that is great tribulation, means 3.5 plus 3.5, all total 7 years. When we're reading in the book of Daniel, go to book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27. Book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
7 years treaty the Antichrist makes with all these 10 nations, or whoever they were, or whoever they are, and they become a mediator and tell the Israeli people, all the Muslim people are not going to fight with you, and we will take care of it, and you don't fight with them, and let's have a peace. And then they sign the treaty for 7 years, and first 3.5 years Antichrist is organizing and doing his stuff, going everywhere and trying to win people's heart that he is going to be very great man and things like that. And so 3.5 years he doesn't bother the Israeli people. But at the same time, as I said, it's not chronologically. So when you read in the book of Revelation chapter 11, there are two witnesses. Go to the Revelation chapter 11, verses 4-6.
These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
Now see, it is very clear. These two witnesses are there, and they have power to bring fire, bring blood, and all kinds of disaster on earth. God put them there. And these two witnesses, they are in the beginning of the tribulation, means first 3.5 years, they will be causing the problem to the Antichrist and all the people who do not believe in Christ and who are living in sin. And those are the people who will be get into problem, means trouble and disaster and things like that. Even the seven angels are standing there and blowing the trumpet, and each trumpet brings some disasters. But I believe all this disaster is caused by two witnesses. They are the one doing this. They are the one calling upon God and bringing all these disasters. And then we see they are doing this for first 3.5 years. Now many people have too many opinions about these two witnesses, and we will be reading more when we go to the 11th chapter, but I'm just giving a little bit hint. These two witnesses, some people are saying, when we're reading all this disaster, chapter 8, the blood and fire and hailstorm, that kind of things, Moses did it in a book of Exodus. You see, chapter 7, chapter 10, and all these chapters we read that Moses caused this hail and fire and blood on these Egyptian people. And so the most of the scholars, not all, most of the scholars think that these two witnesses, one is Moses, because he is doing all kinds of like Moses did. But I don't believe that, according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. Please read. What he says there, there is saying, it is appointed by God, the man wants to die, and after that the judgment. Please read.
And as it is appointed unto men, wants to die, but after this the judgment.
If God appointed man wants to die, why Moses has to die twice? According to other scholars, if they say Moses comes back as a witness in tribulation time, and then you will read in that 11th chapter, these two witnesses will be killed. So Moses doesn't have to die twice. One thing. Another thing, Moses was complaining to God, I cannot lead these people. Send somebody like me. And that is, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and please read verse 15 to 19.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, These have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
So here is very clearly says, Moses didn't want to do any service anymore. He said, Lord, send somebody. And God heard his prayer and he said, okay, I'll send somebody else. And then when we read in Matthew, I'll be saying a little bit more when we're reading the chapter 11, but I'm just giving in short. The Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took his disciples on that mountain, transfigured like a son of God, and they saw the light and the clothes and everything, and then they saw Moses and Elijah talking, and Peter starts saying, Jesus, let us make one tabernacle for you, one tabernacle for Moses, and one tabernacle for Elijah. Before Jesus could say anything, the voice came from heaven. He says about Jesus, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What he indirectly was saying, you are not going to listen to Moses. Moses' work is already finished. Now listen to my son. And they got mixed up, making Jesus Christ equivalent to Moses and equivalent to Elijah. But Jesus Christ said he is the greatest among all the prophets. And so they got mixed up. So God says, Moses is not the one coming. Jesus is the you listen. So we know from that God is not going to send Moses in the time of tribulation. So who are these two people? Only two people we know in the Word of God. One is Enoch. He did not die. And another one, Elijah. The two people did not die. So I believe these two witnesses will be there. So the point I'm making, these two witnesses causing all this problem, and this is the one we see. Now read the words, Revelation chapter 8, verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
Now, when you read Exodus chapter 7, verse 19 and 20, similar thing happened in the time of Moses, or in Egypt. Exodus 7, 19 and 20.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood.
Okay. Exodus chapter 9, verse 23 to 26.
And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Okay, now we see similarity. This thing happened before, it can happen again. And that's what the Revelation chapter 8 is saying. Exactly thing happened, but now it will be happening more. It was not happened before, because this is in the time of Moses. We were talking about only Egypt, but now we are talking about the whole world. And so we say, one third of tree was burned, green grass was completely burned, and everywhere the blood and fire. Read the verse 8 also, Revelation chapter 8, verse 8.
And the second angel sounded, and it were as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood.
See, so we see fire, blood, hail, and it says one mountain fell in the sea. Now, many people will have different theory for that. Some people, if somebody was studying this 100 years ago, they will never believe that there are mountains and there are stones in heaven. Once we went on the moon, and now we know they went to moon and they got some rocks from the moon, right? So we know there are rocks, there are mountains, not only one planet, there are many, many planets. They have the rocks, they have the mountains, they have the all these things in heaven. And so now, this 21st century, it is very easy to believe that any chunk of any star or any planet or any mountain, God can throw it to earth. It is possible. And many people, when I was reading, somebody's commented, oh, somebody maybe a nuclear disaster, or somebody said some kind of things on earth to destroy the earth. God doesn't need anybody's devices. God, he says the trumpet sounds and it happens. And these two witnesses asking God to do the certain things in certain places. And it's happening. Many people think in those moon or sun or all these places, they have gases and things like that. Now we, 50, 60 years ago, nobody thought the moon is like a land like our land. But now we know there are places, and when that kind of mountain falls in the sea, there will be some kind of chemical reaction, and there will be some kind of problem on Earth. That's what the Word of God says. See, it fell on the sea, and it came like a burning, like a fire, and it's cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. When you see in the sea, there are sharks, there are big whales, and big fishes. When you cut the shark, there will be blood, right? And the whales, there will be blood. Now, it is not one or two. They are one third of the sea. All the big, big animals will be killed. So there will be blood all over in the sea. So these are the situation is happening, and no man is causing, but it's causing the angels, and with the permission of God, is happening. Let's read the words, Revelation chapter 8, verse 9.
And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter.
Now see, up to now, first angel, second angel, third angel sounded. Only disaster happened to the land and sea, and the animal, what you call, the fish and the things were in the water and the land. But we didn't see first, second and third, the trumpet sound, any man died. But now we see when the star fell from heaven, the mountain fell from heaven, and all these things when it came to the water, now the water became like a bitter. And it says the name of that star was Wormwood. And wormwood is called a bitter, bitter. And so if you remember, in Russia, when they have the nuclear disaster, in their language also they start calling wormwood. So that was also like a wormwood. Wormwood is the star who falls and makes the water bitter. And that's the time in verse 11 it says the many people died. So I was thinking, why in the first and second and third trumpet sound, maybe the ships, if that there are some people on the ship, they might be died, one third of ships were destroyed, so some people might be dead. But here, the more people died because of bitter water. Now, I heard some people say, 1800 or so, there was some kind of star or something fell on the water, and the water was bitter and people were not able to drink the water. So these things are happening and happened before. This is also prophesied. Let's read the book of Amos chapter 5, and let's read verse 6 and 7.
Seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth.
See, the judgment of wormwood. That means God was planning to do some kind of judgment on earth, and this kind of wormwood, or the bitter water, was going to destroy people. Go to the Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 15. And now we are going to read Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 15.
Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink.
Now here also saying, they will be, water become like a wormwood, And that's the kind of water God is going to give these people to drink. That means some disaster already prophesied, and now this will be coming in the time of tribulation. So the water will be bitter, and people start drinking that water, people will die. Go to the Revelation chapter 8 and start reading from verse 12.
And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone, not for a third part of it, and the night likewise.
But here we see the sun, and the moon, and the stars. They all, one third, will be darkened. And if you read Genesis chapter 1, read verse 14 to 18.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good.
Now see, this happened in Genesis chapter 1. God created sun, moon, and the stars. And this wasn't done in the fourth day. But as we learn, God created lights before even the sun and moon was created. So God is able to do whatever he wants to do. And now the sun, moon, and the stars not giving light, one third of the sun is darkened, one third of moon is darkened, and one third of stars are darkened. And so this never happened before. Only happened when Jesus Christ died. That time there was a darkness. But it was not like a moon had a problem, sun had the problem, or the star had the problem. But it happened before the darkness came into this world. But the point I'm making, all the scientists and all these people who are very smart, they will not figure it out why this happened in the same time. The sun and moon and the star. And they were not giving light at all. No nighttime or the daytime or any time, there was no light at all. And so, it happened before. Read in the book of Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23.
And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Here we see God says to Moses, stretch your hand towards heaven. And when he did, he says that darkness was so thick, you can feel it. I don't know you felt it any time, but I felt it many times. When we're going to somebody's house, and if that house is demon-possessed, or the people are doing demonic activities, means sinful life they are living, if that house you go, you can feel in your spirit thickness. Something is wrong. One time, we went to see the building for church. That was on Rising Sun and Roosevelt Boulevard. When we saw the building, the real estate man was just opening and showing the building. As soon as we enter into that building, I can see thickness, some kind of hindrance. I didn't know what was it. And so we went a little bit further, and then we saw some people, what do you call, witchcraft. They were using that building, and we saw certain demonic things and palm reading things and some other things we saw in that building. My wife says, get out of here, get out of here. I don't want to buy this building. So point I'm making, you can feel the thickness. But I was not afraid. I was going to cast the devil out and sanctify the building and going to use it. But the point I'm making, we can feel this thickness. And so the word of God says, when God says, okay, let the darkness come, that darkness so thick, you can feel it. That's what it says. And then there was a light where the children of God were. Now here it says, one part of this, the sun was darkened. It didn't say what part. But I believe that one part was the darkened sun or moon and star. It has to be in some place where the more people were committing sin and sinful activities going on, or they are going against God or something like that. There is the one God will show his power. And because we see one place where light where the Israeli people were, and another place was thick darkness. So here we see one third of sun, one third of moon, one third of stars. They are not giving light. And the people were in that area. It's not clear where it was. And that place will be darkened. Here we say those people were not able to move. 3 days. Could not go anywhere. When it's very thick darkness, you close your eyes very tight. Or put some kind of that black thing, people put it on their eyes when they get eyes, they're injured or something. You put that kind of thing in your eyes, and then person circle you, and then you say go. You would not know where to go, because you don't know you're going to hit the wall, you're going to go into the ditch, or you go into the fire or what. So the people were not able to do anything. They were not able to move for 3 days. So the point I'm making, that kind of the situation or the timing is coming. And some people are afraid of dark. I want to see if those people are alive there, and the thick darkness comes, then you see. Some people are, they love the darkness and they love the demonic things, and some people like demonic things. But I guarantee you, when this kind of thickness and darkness comes, you cannot do anything. Now see in Matthew chapter 27 verse 45, there was a thick darkness came when Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour.
From 6 to 9th hour means 3 hours, only 3 hours there was a thick darkness on earth. Now see what happened. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world, right? When Jesus died, he proved to people he was not only spiritual light, but he was really light of the world. That proves when we go to heaven in New Jerusalem, they say Jesus Christ and the Father will be the light to the whole heaven. There is no need of light, there is no need of sun, there is no need of moon in heaven. And so this Jesus Christ will be the light to the whole heaven. So you can see when Jesus died, there was a darkness at least 3 hours, and the Egypt, the darkness for 3 days. And so here we see in the time of tribulation, still this is not a great tribulation, this is still is the mild tribulation happening, but we see the people who are not a believers, who did not want to know about Jesus Christ and doing idol worships, and all of those people suffer. Who they worshiping? They're worshiping wrong gods, they're worshiping idols, and they're doing all demonic things. Those are the people suffer in this earthquake and all kinds of disaster, and some of the countries who do not believe in God and do something wrong thing. Those are the places God shows his power. I don't know what country and where it will be one third, but those people will suffer. When there is no sunshine, there is no moon shining, there is no stars, what will happen? They will be freezing cold, right? They will be freezing cold, nothing will grow, and many people will die freezing and dark. And so the great days are coming. Okay, now let's read the verse 13. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13.
And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound.
Now see, the angel is coming in the middle of the heaven and announcing. He's saying, woe, woe, and woe. Now, means more trouble, and more trouble is coming. Now here we see, when we were studying the book of Revelation chapter 7, some scholars say the 144,000 are the evangelists. Nobody is doing evangelical work. The angel is coming and announcing to people that a great trouble ahead of time. Now here he's saying, we saw only four angels sounded the trumpet up to now. Now three more angels has to sound the trumpet. When the three angels' trumpet sounds, then the seventh angel's trumpet sound, then the another problem start coming, because then comes the judgment about the bowls. And each angel, that seven angels, will be pouring one of the bowls on earth, and more disaster coming. But in this chapter, we learn that up to the four angels sounded, and we saw hell, fire, blood, sun, moon, and star not giving light, and one third of everything died. And the man died. They did not say how many people died, but it says many people died. And so this is the mild tribulation, but the disaster is happening. And as I said, who is causing this? These are two witnesses in chapter 11, Revelation. They are the one causing these problems. When we go to that chapter, then we will learn a little bit in detail. So now we see this chapter looked like a very difficult chapter, but is very easy once you listen and understand. So it is not a very difficult chapter. So when you read now the ninth chapter, it's a little bit difficult to understand. But when you read, we will try to explain to you very easy to understanding way. And we came up to the fourth angel sounding. And God willing, next week we will learn more. So shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have called us with a definite high calling. And Lord Jesus, there are so many people going to die with different kinds of disaster. But this is the time to repent of our sins, call upon Jesus, and make Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And your word says in St. John chapter 5, verse 24, when we believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are passed from death unto life, and there is no condemnation. So Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to you. Before this trumpet sounds, before this disaster comes, the church will be going to heaven, and we will be with you for 7 years. And end of the tribulation, we will be coming back onto this earth to have the millennium kingdom. What a blessed opportunity that you have given to us. So Lord Jesus, give us grace to tell our relatives, our friends, and each and everyone we see, to tell them the great trouble is coming to earth. And God is not going to change his mind. He has already prophesied in book of Jeremiah, book of Amos, and we know that this trouble is for sure. So give us grace to avoid this trouble, stay away from this trouble, get ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Give us grace to live a clean and holy life for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.